Okay. Let me share the screen with you guys. Get the Macoros up here. Today I think is going to be the last of our Shiurim on Dveikus. Essentially, the entire year we can speak about Dveikus because, as we've seen, it's part of who essentially who we are and what we're put in this world to do. So we could really speak about Dveikus for the rest of the year. But I think that throughout the first two Shiurim on Dveikus, we spoke about Torah and mitzvos and the dual purpose, both on a psychological level of creating a relationship with Hashem, and also in a spiritual sense, beginning to know ourselves better, the chulu. And I think today we're just going to see two more possible avenues as to how one attains Dveikus in this world, how one creates a relationship with Hashem. And I think, like I said, there are so many ways to continue and to have a relationship with Hashem. But I think once again, we're just trying to cover the basic ones. So we're going to start off with tefillah, and then we're going to get to, I believe, something which is even more basic. So there's so many places that we can start in tefillah, but once again, just like we've done in the other shiurim speaking about tefillos, I want to understand what tefillah is on a basic level, and then try to develop it and try to understand a more complex understanding of what tefillah is. So if we look at a few places in the Torah where we see tefillah, we see a unique and specific type of tefillah. All right, so let's take a look. By Avraham, in the story of Sdom, Hashem decides that he's going to destroy Sdom. We know the famous story that Avraham is standing up and he makes sure that Hashem hears him, that he's not happy, that Hashem is going to destroy the entire city of Sdom. So it says, Vayigash Avraham in Bereishis Parak Yudches. So Avram says, "Are you going to kill the tzaddikim with the rishayim? It's not. This isn't judgment. This isn't justice, right?" And he has this back and forth with Hashem, basically saying, 50, 45, so on and so forth. And the question is, what is Avram essentially doing? What is he doing here? What's going on? So on a very basic level, this is the most basic level of tefillah. Avraham is not only having a conversation with Hashem, but he's requesting something, right? He sees injustice, and he wants to stand up. And therefore, he looks at Hashem, and he says, Hashem, I don't think that it's right this way. And we have to understand that, obviously, in our personal lives, that this is one of the hardest questions that we need to ask ourselves and ask Hashem, which is the question of tzaddik viralo, a person who's a righteous person who's suffering this in this world. And so Avram looks at the tzaddikim and he says, how are the tzaddikim going to suffer? So once again, this is just the most basic level of tefillah. Even though that the words tefillah aren't here, it's clear that what Avram is doing is he's davening for the city. He's praying that Hashem will do something. So on the most basic level, what is tefillah? Tefillah is asking from Hashem, kivyachol, that Hashem will do something, right? And there will be some sort of reaction from Hashem. Now, the concept that my tefillah can change what Hashem's thoughts were and what Hashem's decisions are or are going to be is beyond our topic today. It's definitely an important topic, but that's not what we're going to speak about today. Okay? So, once again, by Avraham, we see that Avraham is standing up for justice, and his tefillah is, save these people. Right? By Moshe Rabbeinu, we see, really, for the first time, this chanina and this tchina in front of Hashem, which is really in this week's parsha, with the story of, well, I think America is a parsha behind, but the Parshios in Eretz Yisrael, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Miriam, right? Miriam and Aaron, they're speaking Lashon Hara about them, and they get saras. So Moshe Rabbeinu screams out to Hashem, he davens out to Hashem, Vayitzak Moshe El Hashem, Lemor El Na Rifan Olam, right? So he's asking for a refuah. So in two places so far in Chumash, in the Torah, we see that what tefillah is on a very basic level is that I'm missing something or I'm standing up for something, for some sort of injustice, and therefore I'm asking for Hashem, kivyachol, to react to my tefillah. So what does that look like? Tefillah essentially looks like, on a very basic level, it's requesting certain things. Right, requesting certain things that they will occur, and requesting for things not to occur. Right, if we were to give just a very basic mashal, and this is where a lot of people get stuck in tefillah, is that many people look at davening as if they're going into a grocery store. It's like we take our three steps back and three steps forward, and that's it. We're in Walmart now. We can ask for whatever we want, right? That's obviously a very shallow level of understanding what tefillah is. But just from the Chumash, just from these few places, we do see that the very basic level of tefillah is asking for something. However, as soon as we start to understand and try to delve a little bit more into tefillah, to understand what is the mitzvah of tefillah, why do we have this chiyuv to daven every single day, whether it's a chiyuv d'oraisa or it's a chiyuv d'rabbanan. Chazal obviously understood, and the Torah obviously understood, that it was very, very important to make this context of a location of connection and communication between us and Hashem. And it's not merely just to ask for certain things to happen or ask for things not to happen, right? We see in the Rambam believes that tefillah every single day is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Ramban thinks that only in an eis tzara it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. He says mitzvah saseh lispalel b'chol yom. This is in Hilchos Tefillah Nesias Kapayim Perek Aleph, right? There's a mitzvah to daven every single day. Shenemar va'avatem es Hashem Elokeichem. Right? Already the Rambam and Chazal called this avoda, right? Like it says, "Va'avadtem es Hashem Elokeichem." What does it mean that we're going to serve Hashem? Avoda zu tfila. Now, generally, when you go into the store and you want to go and buy something, so it doesn't take that much effort. It doesn't take that much avoda. Right, so already we're starting to see that tefillah is something that it's not only I'm going to go and ask for something or ask for something not to happen. There's an avoda here, and what is that avoda? So I think when trying to frame tefillah in regards to dveikus, I think we could speak about it in two different types of frameworks. Just like we saw with Torah and mitzvos, that there's a duality. There's a psychological side, and then there's a spiritual side. I believe that the same thing exists within the realm of tefillah, right? On a very basic level, as the Rambam points out in Mor Nevuchim, there's a concept of when I'm davening, not only am I asking for something, but the fact that you're asking for something recognizes that you're lacking something and that you're dependent on Hashem, right? The Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, Chela Gimel Perek Lamed Vav, he says, "Lefi shehi pe'ula sheba mitbaset al hashkafa ha'amitit, v'hi shehu yitale misig matzavenu ubiato la'ativam im niya nishma'in ulafsidam im marinu." Right? The fact that I'm coming to daven, the fact that I'm coming to speak to Hashem, is a Kabbalah Zol Malchu Shemaim. It's a recognition of that I am talui, I am dependent on Hashem. Right, and if we listen to Hashem, so then Hashem kivyachol is going to listen to us, and if we don't listen to Hashem, so then there's going to be other consequences. Right, velonia b'dea zesh shezem ikre v'davar shi'ira, and therefore it's a recognition. Right, and once again in this week's parsha, this concept of the anane hakavod, right, that Am Yisrael needed to go according to the Anane HaKavod. So the Rabbeinu Bachaya points out that the Anane HaKavod were essentially these simanim to constantly recognize that we are dependent on Hashem. We're going to travel whenever Hashem wants us to travel, and we're not going to travel when Hashem doesn't want us to travel. So far, we've basically described two different types of tefillah, which essentially really is the same thing, right? Asking for something, but But when I ask for something, or when I ask for someone to be for health, or when I ask for parnasa, or when I ask to take away amachla, lo aleinu. So what I'm showing is that I'm dependent on Hashem. And that in of itself, even though that it seems a little bit shallow, as if you're just going into the grocery store and asking for something, we see that even that level shows a certain level of connection, a certain level of dveikus, which is that I'm dependent on Hashem. And in every relationship, there is a level of dependency, right? Therefore, when I ask Hashem, shows that I'm missing something, and I understand that Hashem has it, and He has the koach to give, and Hashem has the koach to take. Therefore, that essentially, that in a very basic level, continues and strengthens my relationship with Hashem. Right? If we're supposed to create this dir batachtonim, so essentially when a person davens, he's being cognizant and being aware of his dependency on Hashem. So that's really the first level of tefillah. However, when we look in the Svarim HaKdoshim, when we speak about tefillah, we see a very, very different approach to tefillah. And that's of one of creating an intimate relationship. What does it mean to create an intimate relationship with tefillah? We're going to see in the words of Rabbi Nachman in just a second how he develops it. But let's just try to understand for a second. Right, you go into the grocery store and there's the cashier there. So you pay the cashier and you take the things out. So you are dependent essentially on the cashier, but the cashier has no like shaychus back to you. There's no real relationship that you create with that cashier. It's sort of just like I take, I give, and we move on, right? However, when you have a relationship with the store owner, so when you go in and you buy something, or you ask for something, or whatever it is, there's already a little bit of a different feeling in that relationship, right? Let's just take an example of a relationship of a husband and wife, right? How do a husband and wife, or how does a young couple that's dating, how do they create and develop their relationship? You're going to see, Mirat Hashem, when you guys start dating, that one of the biggest parts of dating is talking, right? You just talk and talk and talk. And for people, it's very hard for them to talk. Dating is very hard because you could sit down and essentially be talking for 4, 5, 6 hours. Because talking and communication is a key in relationships. In any relationship which is failing, or in any relationship which is seeing a lot of tension, so generally there's a problem in communication. So kibyechol, the same thing exists with us and Hashem. If we want to have more than just a stale, cashier-like relationship with Hashem, that when I need something, so I'll come to the store, and when I don't need something, I won't go to the store. So then, be'emet, so that's how our tefillah is going to look. That's how our relationship is going to look. It's going to look like a relationship with the cashier. However, when we want to have a close relationship, an intimate relationship with Hashem, so we have to understand that in order to have, and in order to develop that relationship, we have to invest time in speaking, right? However, we know how difficult it is to speak and sometimes feel like you're not being answered, right? In the relationship between a husband and wife, we understand that there's two sides to this relationship. So that's obviously a large challenge in tefillah is the concept that we don't have, we don't hear Hashem's messages, or at least not directly. We see them sometimes indirectly, but once again, what we're trying to develop is more than just a relationship of a cashier. If we want to feel closer to Hashem, so we have to be more open with ourselves. We have to be able to show that we're not only coming to Hashem in a time of need, but we're also coming to Hashem in a time of happiness, and also just coming to Hashem to say, "Hi, it's Tuesday, and we haven't spoken in a long time, and I want to create and develop our relationship." So just like any person were to have a relationship with their significant other, so too, we need to also be able to develop our relationship with Hashem through communication. Yeah, Noah, you had a question. Yeah. Yes, I hear you. Right, and obviously, no, yeah, Shakosh. I think that that story really shows, this is something that we need to build over time. It's not like one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be able to like have a, a 16-hour conversation with Hashem. That's why on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is very hard for us to sort of like sit down and just be in shul all day long. Even for us on Shabbos to sit down and daven for 2 hours, even 7 minutes Shmoneh Esrei, it's very hard for us to sit there because we're not used to talking to Hashem. Right, we can talk and schmooze to our friends about sports and a whole lot of different things and different conversations, but we're not used to having that relationship and having that conversation. So this is a piece from the Torah of Rabbi Nachman, in which he speaks about the concept of hisbodidus, which is this very like popular trendy thing of going and having this hisbodidus, and we have to understand what hisbodidus is and what its relationship to tefillah is. And I think that just through framing this, we'll try to deepen our understanding as to what tefillah is, and then hopefully make tefillah a little bit more relevant to us and understanding how that helps us in our dveikas and how that helps us in attaining a relationship with Hashem. So Rabbi Nachman says over here in Ishtaplus HaNefesh, Hisbodidus himala gdola el yonim min hakol. Hisbodidus, what does hisbodidus mean? It means to seclude yourself and to sit, which he's going to speak about. Seclude yourself, that's a great mila. Why? Dehainu likvoa lo al kol panim sha'a o yoter lisbodid levado be'ize cheder ubasade ve'lefareis sichaso beino levein kono betainos ve'amtolos bedivrichem v'ritu yupius. Rabbi Nachman has high expectations of his chassidim. I think we need to start a little bit, with a few minutes a day. But Rabbi Nachman is essentially saying a person needs to be able to put time, right, at least an hour, says Rabbi Nachman, to seclude himself into some room or out in the field or in the forest or wherever it is that you feel comfortable, and to really openly speak, not only in our mind, but take the words and express them and let the words leave your mouth, right? To speak to Hashem in all different areas, right? Tainos, va'amtos, bedivrichein, ve'ritzui, ve'pius, all different types of relation, all different types of conversations. Levakesh, v'liz chanein milfanav yisparach, to ask and to beg of him. But Rabbi Nachman adds something over here, is that it's not only that we're coming with this relationship and we're asking for certain things. Says Rabbi Nachman, a person needs to be levakesh u'lischanein milfanav yisbarach, shi karveyu alav la'avodaso be'emes. A person needs to ask from Hashem and beg from Hashem in his own words, right? And as we're going to see, he's going to speak about in your own language, in the words which you feel comfortable with, that a person needs to ask from Hashem, please help me become closer to you. Right, it's not only about creating that relationship through content and through different conversations, which is obviously so important. But this is even a deeper level: is that a person just needs to be able to express that yearning to become close to Hashem, right? Because all of us have that within us, that yearning, that nekuda, that nefesh elokis, which really wants to express itself all the time, but it doesn't have the words. So Rabbi Nachman says his bodidus, and I would extend this to all tefillah, is essentially trying to express that inner part of us. So Rabbi Nachman says, how does a person do this? Utfila v'sichazu b'lashon shemidabrim, right? Our tefillah and this hisbodidus should be in the language that we speak. Da'inu b'dinasim b'lashon Ashkenaz, and right, he gives his example. Because as we know firsthand, when we're speaking in Hebrew, no matter how well versed we are in Hebrew, it's hard to express the same sort of things that we want to express in our mother tongue. V'gam ein halev nimshach achar dibur machmas she'inu murgal ledaber ba'alashon kol kach. We're not so used to speaking in Lashon HaKodesh, and for sure, not only in Lashon HaKodesh, but in Lashon of the Tefillah. There's sometimes words, there's so many words that we don't know what they mean, or even if we know what they mean, what the context of them is. So Rabbi Nachman is not saying, okay, instead of davening Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv, go and do Hespodidus. He's saying in addition to Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv, or even not only in addition, but to enhance our tefillah, we need to be able to have times in which we're speaking to Hashem just as we were speaking to a friend, or just like we were speaking to a relative, or a husband to a wife, right? And Rabbi Nachman says over here, Kol sichasov es kol asher im levavo yasiach v'yisaper lefanav yisbarach. A person really needs to express everything that's on his heart, right? A person comes home and he had a hard day at work, so he should tell Hashem about the hard day at work, not because he wants Hashem to necessarily change it, but just to express that, just like you were to express that to a friend. Or if a person had a really good day, so a person can come home and thank Hashem. Say, Hashem, you know, I had a really good day, right? Just to be able to have that sort of siach, that sort of relationship with Hashem, right? V'yizar mehod lahargil atzmo lahatmid b'zeh midei yom, b'yom sh'asa miyuchedes kanal. A person should be very makbid on this, because it's very easy that a person could have a moment of inspiration, and he'll feel that he wants to continue to speak to Hashem and to develop this relationship. But if a person doesn't make time throughout his day to really do this and to be masmid in it and to continue in this, so very fast it goes away. The only way that we create a relationship which is everlasting and which is strong is that we make time for it. Right, just like if a person had a husband and wife, and the husband worked the 23 hours a day, and when he came home, he had no time to speak to his wife. So the relationship very quickly would become nothing. So too, how is it that we expect to have this dveikus, even if we're performing, we're learning Torah all day long, and we're performing mitzvos, if we don't have that ability to speak to Hashem and to listen to what Hashem has to say to us, so then it's going to be very hard for a person to create an emotional attachment and an emotional yearning for Hashem. So Ad Kan, let's just summarize what we've seen. We saw that tefillah essentially can be understood in a number of different ways. Right? We saw that a tefillah could be just very basically going to the store and asking Hashem for certain things in order to, or alternatively to avoid certain things, to ask for parnasa, to ask for bracha, whatever it is. We saw by Avram and we saw by Moshe. We saw the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah saseh to daven every single day, to speak to Hashem. The Rambam spoke about in Mor Nevuchim the concept of me being dependent on Hashem. And dependency in itself creates some sort of relationship. However, we saw in the writings of Rabbi Nachman in the Svarim HaKdoshim speak about developing an intimate relationship. And the only way a person can develop an intimate relationship, kivyachol, is through really being able to speak. Because if there's no communication, there's essentially not going to be a strong relationship, even if someone is involved in Torah and mitzvos. Any questions until now, guys? Okay. Perfect. We're moving on to the second part of second nekuda of the shir. The second nekuda of the shir is avodas hamaisa ubirurin. So until now, if we could just summarize, we spoke about Torah, mitzvos, and tefillah. What else is left in a Jewish person's life? Meaning, you know, we sort of summarized every single way that a person could possibly relate to Hashem. Right? It's Torah, tefillah, and mitzvos. What else is left? So in the Svarim HaKdoshim, as we're going to see, there's this concept of Avodas HaBirurim. And this really brings us back to the first year that we learned together. And everything essentially that we've been building until now is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu yearned, as we saw in the Midrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yearned to have a Dira Batachtonim, to have a physical dwelling place in this world. And the implications of that is that all of the mitzvos and all of the Torah and all of the tefillah which we relate to and our entire reality is a reality which is filled with physicality. And as we spoke about the concept of Olam Haba versus Olam Hazeh, right, trying to develop what is going to be my emphasis. And as we saw in by the Bali Chassidus, especially by the Alter Rebbe, the concept of now and here in the physical world is going to be very important. And therefore, if that's true, then there's an entire arena of Avodas Hashem, which has nothing, kivyachol, not to say that it's nothing to do with, but it seems to be that there's another arena, another area of Avodas Hashem, which isn't Torah, isn't mitzvos, and it's not tefillah. And that's the world of Avodas Hamaisa and the Birurin. I wanna speak about two different sugyas in this world, and hopefully it'll connect to a little bit of the tekufa that we're going through right now. In two parashios, we're gonna read the parsha the parashios of Shlach. And one of the most basic questions that arise from that parsha is that we know that the Meraglim, whether it was the Ratzon Hashem, the Meraglim, or they weren't Ratzon Hashem, Moshe decides that he's going to send these Meraglim, he's going to send these spies to spy out the land and to try to figure out what is going on over there. And they come back and they have some good things to say, they have some less good things to say. And eventually, because of the things that they say, they're nigzar that they're going to stay in the desert for another 40 years. And the very basic question, which all of the Mefarshim speak about, is how is it that these people that Moshe handpicked, the 12 Nisim of the 12 tribes, how was it that these people specifically, they were scared, but they were the Nisim, they were the Tzaddikim. How was it possible that Dafka, these people come back and they don't have such hot, such good reviews of Eretz Yisrael? How is that possible? So the Alter Rebbe, in a very, very famous piece in Torah Or, speaks about this question. And I think it's going to shed a lot of light on this fourth arena, which is not Torah, it's not Tefillah, it's not Mitzvos. It's this other arena, which is called the Avodas HaMaisa and the Birurin. So the Alter Rebbe really speaks about this question right here. He says, Shlach Lecha Anashim. Inyan HaMeraglin Shehayu Nisiei Ha'eda Anshei Shem. These people were chash of the people. They were the Nisim. Uma tam shelo ratzu likanes l'Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't they want to go into Eretz Yisrael? Like, what was wrong? Okay, you were scared, but they said it's impossible. It's as if they're saying we don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why don't they want to go into Eretz Yisrael? Says asked the Alter Rebbe. V'gam lahavin mahus madrigas Eretz Yisrael. We also have to understand, what is the essence of Eretz Yisrael? What does that mean? Right, the pasuk tells us that Eretz Yisrael is filled with milk and honey. And so, why does the pasuk decide to specifically speak about physical dimensions and physical beauties of Eretz Yisrael? It could have spoken about that Eretz Yisrael is a beautiful place, and that spiritually it's beautiful, that it's greater spiritually than all of the other countries of the world. Why Dafka does the pasuk speak about the physical attributions of Eretz Yisrael? So the Alter Rebbe says the following: Ach tzarech lahavin dehine kol hamitzvos maisios rubem kekulam tluyim dafka beEretz Yisrael. We see that a lot of the Torah and mitzvahs that we have are dafka connected to Eretz Yisrael, right? Like the Zrayim and the Kachim and the Korbanos. So the Alter Rebbe asks, what is unique about bread that the pasuk speaks about kilo ala lechem levado yichya adam, right? So what the Alter Rebbe has basically asked until now is he asked, what's going on with the Meraglim? Why don't they want to go into Eretz Yisrael? And what's unique about Eretz Yisrael? So the Alter Rebbe says, Ach hine in ha'inyin hukimo tzepi Hashem shebedomeim tzomeach v'chai. Different, the domeim is obviously the inanimate, the tzomeach is the plants, and the chai, basically all of the physical different dimensions of this world. Hu inyin ha'reish peiches nitzotzo shenaflu b'shviras ha'kelim. There were these 288 nitzotzos that were created in the world after there was the Shviras HaKelim, which we spoke about a little bit when we spoke about Tzimtzum, is that there were all of these spiritual lights that when Hashem created the world were spread out throughout the world. Ve'ha'adam hu mehatikun, right? And what was man's job? Man's job is to be involved in tikun, right? Or in other words, what is man's job? To create a dira batachtonim, to reveal the godliness in the physical world. Right? And that's why a person needs to get his chiyus dafka from the physical world. And says the Alter Rebbe just in the next sentence, Ukmo kein inyan yivridas hanishama lolam hazeh hashafel, dafka hu kedei la'akafya l'sitra achra, b'chdei she'al yedei istalik yokar dekucharichu kisron o'or, haba min achoshech dafka. Now, when we spoke about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, when we spoke about the union of Dafka taking the physical world and being able to reveal spirituality in the physical world, that's not only in the world of revealing Torah and being involved in mitzvos. It's involved in all of the areas, of life. It has to do with planting and being involved in different areas of avoda. It's not specifically in the areas of Torah and mitzvos, being mekayim mitzvos. So says the Alter Rebbe, and therefore, v'lo ratzu lahashpil es atzmam lemitzvos maisios. But what was the mistake of the Meraglim? The mistake of the Meraglim was they didn't want to get down on their hands and knees and be involved kivyachol in these lowly things, these lowly mitzvos, right? In these mitzvos that we need to use our hands and we need to be involved in avoda, shibechinas hamshachas or in sof baruch lemata, v'amru al eretz Yisrael shiocheles yoshveha, right? And therefore it called the land that it eats up the people, the inhabitants of the land. Why does it eat up the inhabitants of the land? Because a person can get so overwhelmed with the maisa, he can totally forget about Torah and mitzvos. However, says the Alter Rebbe, aval Yehoshua v'Kalev, but Yehoshua and Kalev recognized, amru tova aretz me'od me'od, the land is good and it's good. What is it? Shal yedei eretz Yisrael shelamata dafka, b'chinas mitzvos maisios dafka, yumshach b'chinas or insof b'chinos me'od bli gvul b'chinas almin stimin. Says the Alter Rebbe, the difference between the Meraglim and Yehoshua and Kalev was that the Meraglim didn't recognize the importance and the inherent value in avoda, right? In being involved in our hands and knees and in different in Yonei Olam Hazeh. And that's why they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't they want to go into Eretz Yisrael? They want to go into Eretz Yisrael because in the desert everything was really good, right? They had their clothing being dry cleaned by the Anenei HaKavod. They had the mun. They didn't have to plant. They didn't have to worry about anything. They were the Dor Dea. They sat in the Beis Medrash and they learned all day long and they were involved in mitzvos. So why, says the Meraglim, why do we want to go into Eretz Yisrael? So therefore, what did we say? What did they come back and they said? They said, it's impossible, we can't win. That's not what they were saying. They weren't saying that Hashem couldn't conquer the land. Essentially, what they were saying is that we don't want Hashem to conquer the land because then what would the implications of that mean? It would mean that we can't be involved in our utopian-type base medrash life. However, Yehoshua and Kalev recognize that that's dafka what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to have different kufas, and Hashem wants us to have different parts and different compartments in our life, that sometimes we're going to be involved in Torah and Mitzvos, and sometimes we're going to be involved in Avodah. But that essentially was the chait of the Meraglim. So how does that help us in our... Hold on one second. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehyeh Bidvaro. Excuse me. How does that help us understand another avenue towards Avodas Hashem? Says the Alter Rebbe, and says the Svarim HaKdoshim, there's another avenue to have a relationship with Hashem. And that is dafka in the places in which Hashem seems to be absent. At work, when I go and I'm an accountant and I'm living in the city, and I'm involved in 12-hour days, and my friends in investment banking, and if I'm a lawyer, or if I'm a doctor, or if I'm a farmer, no fi alone, or whatever it is, our entire life is filled with times in which we're not involved in learning Torah and doing mitzvos, but we're involved in the world, and a person can't see the world in such a way which I'm involved in Avodas Hashem and Dveikus when I'm learning Torah, when I'm davening, and when I'm doing mitzvos. But when I'm doing something else, so that's not Avodas Hashem. Right? As Rav Yamer likes to say, it's not a double life, it's a broad life. But essentially what the Alter Rebbe is saying is that it's not a broad life, that's how life is. Right? Avodas Hashem is compartmentalized and compiled of different aspects. And this is one of the different aspects. Just to finish off with one last makor, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says this in such a strong way in Parshas Shlach in Likutei Sichos. He says over here in the second paragraph, this is in Likutei Sichos in Parshas Shlach. He says, "Etzel kol ha'adam Yisrael yeshnan shtei tkufos b'chayav." A person, every single Jew, has different time periods and different tkufas in his life. Midbar ve'eretz Yisrael. Just like Am Yisrael experienced a time of midbar, of the desert, which they weren't involved in any gashmias. And then Eretz Yisrael, which they were involved in conquering the land in gashmias. Bechol yom, kach gam bechol yom. A person also has this essentially in every single day of his life. B'tchila hayom adam usik b'tfila b'limud shir b'torah lachar tfilo chayotze bazeh. Person ideally starts his day off going to davening and having a small shir and learning a little bit and davening and so on and so forth. Ve'in l'maga imagashmias. And until that, we don't eat before davening. We're not involved. Right? We're not involved with gashmias. But we already see that the mitzvahs themselves have a connection to physicality. However, until this point, he's not involved with business calls, and he's not involved with these different things, and my car needs to be fixed, and so on and so forth. But after davening, what happens? What happens when I leave the Beis Medrash? The halimud hu ne'elatz litaseg b'inyanei ha'olam. He needs to be involved with taxes and this and all different types of distractions, all different types of things in Olam Hazeh. Ba'asakim shel inyanei ha'reshus u'bitzua ha'avodah shebechol darkecha de'eyu. He needs to be involved in whatever a person is involved in. You know, every single person in their own life. You know, different types of jobs and different types of things. Alul huliton, so says the Rebbe in such a beautiful way. He says, a person may think, Bishas limud Torah shu chachmas v'ritzon shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu muvan shelo kayemes kol metzius prat l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'alomeh. So when I'm learning Torah, so I have this ultimate dveikus, and I see that I have this relationship, and I'm saying it's just me and Hashem and the Sefer, and we're mamish a high level of dveikus. Alachas kama the kama b'shas tefillah, and so too, and even stronger when I'm talking to Hashem, so it's very clear that I'm connecting to Him. K'she'omed b'batlus muchletes le'elokos, that I'm totally batel in front of Hashem. I'm sitting here and I'm so dependent and I'm davening. Shas afilu mitzius shelo ina kayemes, then a person really doesn't even see himself. Aval kasher hu osik b'inyanei rishus, but when a person is involved in things which aren't Torah and mitzvos, inyanei rishus, inyanei ha'olam, helam v'hester, V'atora atzma dereshes minu ta'aseh hitna'agut al pi sedrei ha'olam. Ketzad yachol hu lif'ol be'atzmo, shim heyoso b'toch sedrei ha'olam, lo yitfesu ha'inyanim ha'gashmi makom etzlo, shelo yis'aneg b'hem v'shishtamshu b'hem rak la'avodas Hashem. Adrabba, who toin Adam Shasuk Rov Hayom Binyana Olam, Hari Lorak Sheinu Mesuga Lifol Al Atzma Lios Kiroi B'meshach Hayom. What is a person, what happens to a person that is so involved in the world? What happens to a person who's clocking so many hours? He says, what does my Avodas Hashem look like? What does my relationship with Hashem look like? My relationship with Hashem looks like is that when I'm done work, then I'm able to go and be an Eved Hashem. When I'm done my taxes, then I can go and be an Eved Hashem. But right now, I'm not being involved in Eved Hashem. I just want to give you a mashal. Imagine you have a husband and wife, and we're going to finish with this. A husband and wife. And the husband, basically, at work, he says, I'm married to this woman, but essentially right now, because I'm not speaking to her, and I'm not texting her, and you know, I'm involved in my business, and so on and so forth. So essentially, we're not connected, and everything that I'm doing in work really has no connection. But obviously, it has a connection. You're bringing up Parnassa home. There's a whole Nekuda. So the Gashmias is there to enhance the Ruchnias, and the Ruchnias is there to enhance the Gashmias. And when a person has a histaklis, when a person has a perspective of the Meraglim, in which a person might say to himself very easily, well, I can't become overwhelmed by this world, so I just need to do something which I'm constantly going to be involved in Torah and mitzvos and tefillah, and I can't be involved in anything else. So says the Rebbe, that's zechaval, because that's not what Hashem wants from us. Hashem wants from us, b'chol derkecha de'eu. And that was the mistake of the Meraglim. And that was the tikkun of Yehoshua and Kalev, and that's the ultimate tikkun that we need to have. So I think this was a good way to sort of conclude with these shiurim of Dveikus, is that we spoke about such high levels of Dveikus, of Torah, and a person recognizing that he essentially is Torah, and that it's not only some subject and some intellectual thing, and we spoke about mitzvos, and mitzvos milashon tzavta, that it's a connector, and so on and so forth, and it breeds our relationship, and we spoke about tefillah, the concept of speaking to Hashem directly, which obviously is communicating to Hashem. I think this last nekuda is so important for us to understand, is that our relationship with Hashem is constant, and is always, and doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter if I'm involved in Torah and mitzvos now. Essentially, my entire life is a life of Torah and mitzvos, and when I'm involved in Olam Hazeh, I need to be involved in Olam Hazeh, and I need to recognize that here, too, is Hashem. Hashem is found here also, and here's an opportunity also. I think this message is very important for us going into the summer. Whatever everyone's plan is going to be, and I think it could even be more relevant if people don't have plans. So we could, after a long year in yeshiva, we could very easily come to the conclusion that where is our Avodas Hashem? Our Avodas Hashem is in yeshiva. But when I'm doing classes at YU, or when I'm helping out the family with the this, or when I'm doing that, or when I'm doing groceries and so on and so forth, that's not where Avodas Hashem is. Says the Rebbe, and says the Svar Makdoshin, that that's not true. That is another avenue to connect to Hashem. And I think that should be mechazik us to recognize Bechol Derkecha De'iu, that Hashem is essentially everywhere, and it's not just a cute way of saying Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere. That's essentially how it is, and that's how Hashem really wanted it to be. Shvi Zocha, that through Torah, Tefillah, Mitzvos, Avodas HaBirurim, that we should continue to grow in our Avodas Hashem, and we should continue to really strive to have a yearning for a real relationship with Hashem. And hopefully we'll start to hear the other side. We'll start to see totzot. We'll start to see our actions and our kavanos and so on and so forth, that hopefully there'll be a second side listening, and that we'll be able to hear him very clearly. So Yashar Koach, and Yirtzeh Hashem, will meet next week, and I'm not sure what we're going to be learning about yet, but I'm sure it'll be great. So Yashar Koach, guys.